In the name of Jesus, amen. Boy, this weather just makes you feel alive, right? Brr. But thank God you're not a tree. Amen? I mean, you'd have been rained on and frozen on. In certain parts of the nation, when you get rained on, like that as a tree, it doesn't matter how strong you are as an oak. I mean, I've seen gargantuan oak trees reduced to rubble because of ice storms. I saw my first ice storm in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it blew me away. I thought, wow, so this is what it's like. I'd rather take the cold than the ice, but here we got a little bit of both. And it's interesting. We're going to think about a tree today. Our message is titled, "The Best News Ever, The Holy Seed Has Sprouted." You'll get a better idea of what I mean here in a little while. But today we're drawing from the holy law and gospel of Isaiah. And it's interesting, Isaiah, all the prophets of the Old Testament do law and gospel, but it's amazing what Isaiah does by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God leading him to be a prophet to the church at the time of his life. And certainly we're hearing about his calling into that ministry today. But Isaiah, in so many ways, gives us so many wonderful pictures of the gospel. And the New Testament authors draw from Isaiah often. This came to be fulfilled as spoken by the prophet of old, and oftentimes it's Isaiah who is being referred to, oftentimes by Matthew. I mean, in a way, Isaiah is like an Old Testament gospel of the life of Christ. And yet today, it's quite a sobering portion of Scripture that we read. Isaiah is called into the ministry of being a prophet, and, well, the call documents are quite powerful. It's all law. And the church in Isaiah's day had become pretty broken. Well, reduced to a stump. It was no longer a flourishing tree filled with all kinds of fruit. In fact, Isaiah's ministry is to actually just judge the church, condemn the church, and to bring it to nothing. And it's a pretty brutal call document. And certainly, even Isaiah himself experiences it, realizes how broken and sinful he is, man of unclean lips, and yet God cleanses him. There would be a remnant that would be cared for. And yet, even in all the scripture, to the last verse, verse 13, we hear this, "And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled." One of God's pictures of judgment in the Old Testament is an uprooted tree or a tree cut down at its base. And yet, we get the gospel right at the end of this reading. And it's this. The holy seed is its stump. Oh, that's good news. So from that Old Testament broken church, there will be a holy seed that will come forth, and well, that's the whole point of this message today. Best news ever, the holy seed sprouted. Not only did it sprout, but it died on the cross, rose from the grave, and now is seated on the right hand of the Father. This is good news. This is the best news ever. We're not just reduced to being a stump. The church is so much more now because this Old Testament prophecy pointing to the Messiah has actually taken place. Very interesting. Chapter 7, it's all about the coming Messiah. It's all about the virgin birth. And then we go through, and then to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Best news ever. We live in the light of the empty cross and empty grave of Jesus. We live in the messianic age, which was always pointed to with such hope in and throughout the Old Testament. And so we live in that time. So why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? I mean, are you seeing the signs of God's judgment as you look around, as you hear the news, as you look at what's going on? Do you even at times sense the sign of God's judgment in your life, touching important parts and places of who and what you are? So what's going on? How does this work? If the best news ever, the holy seed has sprouted and certainly grown, what's going on? How do we make sense of all the things that are going on, from the challenges in the nations and among the nations, the challenges that some heard about last night in Mind Polluters, what's going on in cancel culture and all that? What's going on? And of course, the standard Lutheran answer is it's law and gospel. I mean, law and gospel isn't just a topic. It's not something that's academic. More so, the law and the gospel of God is at work all the time. And, well, the best way to consider what it looks like is to look at Psalm 2. And hopefully this will help you make some sense of what you see and also help you just be still and know that God is God. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the judges or rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying. So this is what all the nations, all the kings, all the judges at all levels are about. And this is their motion, obviously seconded and approved. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Let us burst their bonds. What's with that plural there? It's the same issue with Isaiah 6. Who will go and work for us today? Our praise team led us in Holy, Holy, Holy. Wonderful, wonderful hymn. Because God is Elohim. Now, God is El, and the plural form is Elohim, which points to the Holy Trinity. Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden, let us make God in our image. There's the plural again. But here's the deal about this. I mean, we know who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the nations and the kingdoms and the rulers, down to the people in charge of even the public school system, all they know is they want to be free of God. They want to be free of his will. They want to be free of his ways and his commands. They want to do life their own way. And when you and I understand that, and we hear some of the crazy things that are going on in our day and time, this helps us understand what's happening. I mean, I've been talking about this for a couple of years, but this gender dysphoria, it's hard to deal with our sexuality. We all know that. We lived it. It's hard to grow up, even with the binary idea of gender, male and female. But what's happening now in our culture is all of that is being freed. In other words, this truth is being warred against. And it's just one of all kinds of examples of the way the world wants to do things its own way. And that's why it can be so challenging for us. Nations want to be in charge without understanding who and what God is. And so here is the collision. And here it is in a major way. How does God respond to all of that activity across the nations, across the United Nations, across the policies that government wants to instill and force upon us in very many ways? He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. They can't mess with God. They can't mess with God. He's not threatened by them. In fact, they're just going to fight against him, and they're not going to win. Why? Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "Ask as for me, Now we're dealing with the singulars. Isn't this interesting to hear the Father talk about the Son? As for me, I have set my King on Zion, my holy hill, on God's favorite part of the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, the oldest part of the city, Zion, my holy hill. So it's not going to work because Christ is seated. The Messiah has been seated. And no matter how the nations rage, no matter how institutions want to thwart God's will and ways, it's not going to work. It's going to be a battle. It's going to make a mess of all kinds of things. It's going to look really, really sad for us who believe. But in the end, it's not going to work because Christ has been seated. We celebrate that on Christ the King Sunday and Ascension Sunday. And every day, frankly, because he's risen and reigning over all. And now verse 7. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Now we hear another speaker. This is Jesus. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. So Jesus is telling us what God said to him. And so who is the owner of all things? Our Savior Jesus. And then it goes on. You shall break them. This is the Father speaking to the Son. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like potter's vessels. So how much of what's going on right now is just Jesus doing things for the sake of his church, for the sake of what he wants to accomplish in and through each of us, in our daily lives, in our activities, in our families, in our neighborhoods where we work, or even as a congregation? How much of the mess is Jesus just making things obvious so that we can make a difference? I mean, God only knows. A lot of it for you and for me just looks like what? A mess. Something that we lament. Something that we ache about. I mean, there's a lot of challenges right now for us as believers. In our individual lives, in the life of our family and friends, in our nation, across the nations. And certainly we can lament. And we'll talk about how we can do that more in a little while. But this is how Paul explains this. And he's like one of the best interpreters of the Old Testament. But Paul likes to tell it this way. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, talking about, you know, his prayer for the church in Ephesus and what the Holy Spirit did in bringing Jesus from the dead and the grave. It ends like this. And God placed all things under his, this is Jesus' feet, and anointed Jesus to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, for the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow! Jesus is over everything. And that's even hard for us to grasp. Right? I mean, it just looks, again, like a big mess. And yet, we are to believe what Paul says, that Jesus is over all things for the sake of his body, the church. Hard to see. And so, we take this by faith. We trust this word from God, even though it doesn't make a lot of sense to our senses, what we see and feel and hear and think and so forth and so on. And it's difficult because of this. This is hard for us to grasp. And yet this is the truth. Jesus has been seated over all things. So because of all of this, now what do all the nations and the kings and the judges and the rulers across all levels of government and institutions need to understand? Verse 10, now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Now who gives those kings and rulers their authority? God does. But when they take it into their own hands and do it for their own reasons to try to get away from God, who are they going to be facing? Do you want to get in between those? No. But serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I mean, this God says to all those who have authority in the civil realm, the kingdom of the left, to understand. But there's more. I mean, this is the heart of God. Not only is he telling them, be forewarned, but kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. You know, understand who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is. It's the one who laid down his life for you, kings and judges and rulers of the world and the nations. Isn't it interesting how even God holds out a branch of peace and love in the Son, who is the King of Kings? I mean, we don't know how many rulers and judges and kings of the nations across the history of the human race ended up believing in and loving Jesus and following him. But in the end, it's all about this last sentence. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. That is the Son. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. That's you. How many years have you trusted in the Lord? Have you been thankful for his love and forgiveness? How many years have you been one of those who take refuge? What does it mean to take refuge? It means to trust. It means to say, Lord, my day's been just a veil of tears, but I'm going to trust in you. Or I'm going through what I can't believe I'm going through. I'm trusting in you. Or Lord, thank you for a great day. I'm trusting in you. Or Lord, forgive me for all the ways I failed today. I'm trusting in you. That's what it means to take refuge. But keep in mind, him, blessed are all who take refuge in him, is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Seed that sprouted and grew into a wonderful tree. Maybe you've never thought of Jesus as being a tree, but think about it in terms of Matthew. This is Matthew, is it 21, 31? Somewhere around there. 13. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a tree for birds. Well, we just heard that Jesus has all things and he is over all things. Who are the birds? We are the birds. We are the birds that take refuge in him. We're the other nation who actually knows who our king is. And we're also the nation that prays for all those who rule over us, that they serve in such a way that godly purposes are served. And when we see that they're not, we lament. But when was the last time you thought of Jesus as a tree? As for some of you, Groot and Guardians of the Galaxy. Aren't you glad you have Jesus as the one who can hold you and strong and can carry you? Although Groot's not that bad, but he can be pretty mean and destructive. But today, you know, we have these. I mean, the Bible is full of these word pictures that help us take in and find comfort. So maybe you can perch yourself on Jesus today and sing like a little bird, happy. Or maybe you just need a huddle close and have him hold you. Whatever it is, isn't it wonderful to know that he'll never leave us nor forsake us? And we can take refuge in him when the storms are raging and when it's a good day and we can just chirp away. But you know, we're the ones that he's redeemed, and blessed are all who take refuge in him. And today, this is the gospel according to Isaiah. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand. May that peace from God guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.